Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Heather Green. Heather is a functional medicine practitioner and the founder and CEO of the Cat's Meow CBD. Thanks for joining us today, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to have you on. Now, let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
I am out of Round Rock, Texas.
Wow, Round Rock, Texas. Haven't been there. I lived in Dallas for a few years. But what's the kind of scene there in Texas, in Round Rock, Texas specifically, and in terms of CBD, and how'd you end up there anyways?
I moved to Round Rock from Rio Rancho, New Mexico in July. A guy brought me here. but it's been great for our CBD business. We're right outside of Austin, which is, I don't know if you know anything about Austin.
Booming young city.
Yeah.
A lot of people, just young families, and a very cool place to be. I know that.
Yeah, very, very earthy, crunchy, as I put it, and very open to CBD. So it's a great, great area for our company. It's been a good move.
Amazing, very good. Tell me, you're a functional medical practitioner. Can you kind of get into that and how kind of your journey to CBD? Your background with that and how that kind of opened up. I know it's something that's your background may not be with that, but it's an exciting place to be, obviously, now. But everybody has their own journey, so I'd love to hear yours.
Sure. Yeah. So I have a functional medicine practice, and so I help especially women get well and figure out the root causes of why they have dysfunction in their body. And so I had a client that her husband had gone to a farmer's market in Arizona and picked her up some CBD. And she wanted me to look at the product and make sure it was a good product. And so I checked it out and I decided, hey, let's start white labeling some CBD to make some side income. And that's kind of how it started. And from there, I got some grand idea to start our own company. There's not really basically, I was sitting in my living room and I said, hey, let's start a company. It's called the Cat's Meow CBD. One of those people, once I get something up my butt, I go and I do the thing. And so that's how it started. I found a grower in Colorado, and that's where our hemp is grown. And the products are handcrafted here in Round Rock, Texas. But how CBD started for me is
I want to hear, you talked about very briefly, you kind of skimmed over, I did it, somebody brought me something, I looked into it, and sure, here you go. But I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more in there, right? Like going about research, what made it a good product or is against a bad product, and
right.
Kind of piqued your interest. Like, whoa, holy crap, I know you're so, the endocannabinoid system is, we talk about it frequently on this podcast, obviously. But
yeah.
Coming from a place from no knowledge, what kind of piqued your interest and what kind of, how'd you go about it?
I had a 13-year-old rabbit actually that was having some mobility issues at the time as well. And I had bought a CBD product, Amazon online somewhere. I forget where I got it from. And it said to refrigerate it, which I kind of thought.
Are you sure it was a CBD product if you got it on Amazon? Because I know they got a lot of hemp CBD.
Yeah, well, talking about that, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Well, it said to refrigerate it, first of all, which I thought was kind of strange. And then one day I was looking at the bottle and it didn't really say how much CBD was in it or what else was in it. And so that kind of started my research on.
How long ago was this?
Oh, goodness. 2016, I think.
Okay.
So his name was Dwiggins and he started using CBD that wasn't our product at the time. And as the last year or so of his life, he was actually using our product. But that got me to kind of researching, you know, milligrams of CBD, what's in the CBD. What was strange was this, that this bottle didn't really have any, like, didn't tell me how much CBD was in it. And we find that a lot, right?
There's either you get something online, or you get something in a gas station, or you get, you know, the people, this, you know, not all CBD is created equal, as we say. You know?
No. Well,
the molecule's the same, but what else they put in it and how much is in it. And, you know, so there's a lot of factors, obviously, as well.
Beware low milligrams in ginormous bottles, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we get that a lot. People come up to us and they're like, oh, I tried CBD and it didn't really do anything.
It didn't work.
Right. Well, and so then my question is, well, how many milligrams was it? First of all, second of all, what other stuff did it have in it? And were you giving enough? Right. So I was taking two drops for a 150-pound person. Right. And so depending on what milligram strength that was. And so, yeah, this particular product that my client had purchased, they had lab work and, it, you know, the milligram strength was high and they didn't have any other crap in it. And they talked about where it was made, where the hemp came from and that kind of thing. The hemp was organic. And so, you know, that kind of started my interest in CBD. I actually suffer from chronic pain myself. And so, you know, I was giving it to my rabbit. His dog sister, Mia, also had seizures. So I figured that was great because that would help with her seizures. And then I started taking it for myself. And I figured, you know, at first I was selling it to as a white label to my patients and clients. And then I decided, well, why the heck not make our own stuff? And so that's kind of how it started. I am a functional medicine practitioner, so I'm super picky about products and stuff that's in it. You know, a lot of the CBD products out there, especially like the gummies and edibles, have, you know, dyes and colorings and all kinds of chemical crap in them, which to me is kind of an oxymoron if, you know, you're trying to benefit your health with CBD, but then you're taking some extra chemical crap along with it. And so, you know, one of the premises of our company is I'm super picky about what we make and what we sell to our consumers. I would not sell you something that I wouldn't ingest myself. And so, you know, our standards are really high in regards to, you know, what is and isn't in the product and making sure that it is a high quality product with no other additives and the milligram strengths are high and that kind of thing. Organic, you know, no metals. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people don't even realize what's in it a lot of times. You know, one thing with the tinctures and the milligrams, and then another thing there, like you said, with the gummies and other edibles, topicals, how is it interacting with your skin? The list goes on and on, obviously. And I think obviously, aside from, you know, a lot of times we talk about the stigma, a lot of times we talk about the education, but, you know, cleaning up the industry is another topic that comes up a lot, where it's just, it's obviously the consumer has to be a educated consumer, but not everything should be falling on the consumer's head, right? Like,
right.
You know, there shouldn't be certain stuff in these products in the first place. And I mean, obviously it's easy to say because, you know, in America, I think we pretty much ingest anything in our bodies. We put anything in there and, you know, don't really think about it so much, but it really is the job of the industry as a whole and definitely the job of any business owner who carries products to vet their products or any manufacturer to make sure they're doing the right thing. But we don't always see that, like you said. So, you know, and not everybody's Heather Green, you know, trying to do the right thing. So what can we do to clean up the industry, really? What can we do to help out our consumers as a, you know, besides just going to shows or having, you know, one-to-one interactions with people? Because I think that's pretty inefficient. How can we really get to more people and be able to educate them to be better consumers and clean up the industry?
Right. Gosh, that's a tough one. You know, one of the things we really like to do is help our customers really kind of know what they should be looking for. You know, one of the things I always tell people is, hey, if you don't buy our product, at least be looking for blank, right? Be looking for lab work, be looking for, you know, certain things in lab work and that kind of thing. And even like topicals, right? You mentioned the topicals. I think people in the functional medicine world, we always talk as the skin is a big mouth, right? And so sometimes I think people don't, they think they're putting something on their skin. So if it's got extra stuff in it, it should be okay because they're not ingesting it orally, right? One of the drawbacks of putting chemicals on your skin, right, is when we say you ingest like a food poisoning, right, that's going to go through your liver. Your liver is going to say, oh, no, 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 right? And that's why we have vomiting and diarrhea and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When we put something on our skin, it doesn't have the benefit of going through the liver. It's like straight into your bloodstream, right? And so, you know, even chemical stuff that might be in any kind of topical, you're still getting, you know, you're still getting that into your system. And so sometimes I don't think people think about that as well, but, you know, I think having QR codes on products can be really helpful in this industry, so that someone picks up a product somewhere and they can scan it with their phone and it brings them right to the lab work that's associated that with that product. I think that's a really great idea. You know, and I think that weeds out a lot of the companies that are selling suboptimal stuff, right? Because if they're, you know, if they don't have a code on it, you know, the informed consumer should know that it's not associated with any lab work. And so, you know, I don't know about making that a legal thing. That would be helpful, because that would definitely weed out some of the companies that are making suboptimal products, for sure. But I think that we have a long way to go there.
Yeah, I think suboptimal is a nice way of putting it, you know, shitty products, you know. So
I like the word shitty. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, that's the problem, right? Is that so many people, we talk about education, and then we talk about the people, you know, that people should be watching out for it and having the QR codes, which is obviously great. Some people aren't aware of that, you know.
Right.
We're talking about this, you know, gas station CBD and Amazon's seed, hemp seed oil that is sold as CBD, and it just really sucks because we lose all of these people on the long term. But
it's,
you know,
true.
You know, you, I think, you know, the one of the main reasons I want to have you on, you know, as a functional medicine practitioner, you know, you have a different outlook on things, right? You know,
right.
I always like to bring in people who have had different practices, you know, having people who were, you know, physicians, therapists, nutritionists, researchers,
right.
You know, and bring their value, right? Because a lot of people have CBD companies, and that's great. And it's, the door is obviously very, very open for that right now. How do you integrate, you know, you mentioned a little bit in terms of looking, wanting to have the top products that don't have crap in it, that don't have these chemicals that people aren't necessarily watching for. How else do you integrate the CBD side with the functional medicine practitioner side? And really be able to bring that value, because that separates you, right?
Right.
As a business owner, not everybody has that background. So how are you using that to integrate that and really bring value to your clients, your customers?
Right. Well, I have my patients right through the functional medicine practice. A lot of my patients and clients suffer from chronic illnesses that you know, have inflammation as one of their top issues, right, in their disease process. And so, you know, because I myself have suffered from chronic illnesses, I tend to kind of attract people from that background. And so CBD can really be helpful in regards to helping those inflammatory processes. You know, one of the things we look for in lab work is something called sed rate, which is an inflammatory marker. It doesn't really tell us where the inflammation is, but it tells you how much inflammation is in your body. And as a little experiment for myself, a few months ago, I went and had my sed rate done because, you know, of course, I use my product every day, all day, right?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a product of my product.
Yeah,
and
you have to make it for yourself first and foremost, like you said. If I'm
right.
If I can eat the, if I'm going to put this in my body, then obviously I would want other people. You know, if people aren't using it, then what the hell are you doing this for? You know, but.
Right. Yeah. And so we want that sed rate to be as close to zero as possible as an indicator that we're not inflamed. Right. And so I was a 2. So I was like, woohoo, you know, good for CBD. And so, you know, CBD can
so you
be
saw
really
a difference there with the inflammation.
Huge,
with the,
right. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about is these are things that people don't know. Right.
Right.
We can have a lot of different owners on here and they can share their personal story. That's amazing. But that's something that people don't know. Right. That there's actually tests to show that you've seen in your own practice that, hey, here's where it were before. Here's the baseline. And here it is, the inflammation, right? The number, your rating, how it is after using CBD.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. You know, CBG has been used in cancer research and those kinds of things. And so, you know, anything that we can do to help the balance in the body, CBD can really kind of help people to maintain a balance that they didn't have before. And so, you know, there's obviously other things that we do for them in the practice, but, you know, helping people to get to kind of like a homeostasis with CBD can be really helpful, and then helping their body to be able to recover from their disease process. And so it can be really a nice aid for people to kind of to take the next steps.
Amazing. Now, a couple of things, a couple of questions here is, in your experience, you know, what has the reporting been from your patients after using it? And, you know, with the inflammation, for instance, is the effects pretty immediate? Is it something they have to do for a couple of weeks before they start seeing something? Because obviously everybody is different, literally, you know, and the chemistry is different and people react different ways. But sometimes we see trends. Is there, you know, in those two cases, what's your experience?
Right. You know, to your point, it's going to depend on the individual patient, of course. People that are having a lot of pain, I tend to recommend doing both an oral and a topical, because people tend to have more immediate relief from the topical as the oral is kind of doing its job within your system, right? And so that can kind of give people an immediate relief as the oral kind of, because that can take a couple of weeks, right, to change within the body structure. And so that's usually what we do is have people use a topical first if they're having some, you know, neck pain, back pain, any kind of pain, use that in conjunction with an oral to kind of get an immediate relief. You know, sometimes when people just use the oral, then their kind of patience wears off because they're, unfortunately, in our society of popping an Advil and getting immediate relief, that's what people expect, right? And so it kind of, that goes a long way in regards to the education piece. People in our society are so used to getting immediate results. You know, like I said, popping an Advil and getting rid of a headache. And unfortunately, popping an Advil and getting rid of a headache doesn't get to the root cause of why you had a headache in the first place, right? And so kind of educating people that, you know, with CBD, it's going to take some time, right? Because it's working within your body to maintain homeostasis, right? And so that's going to take a little bit of time. And educating people that you know, they need to be patient around that. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know much about CBD. And as a result of that, they don't do anything about it because they feel like they don't know enough, or they're scared, or, you know, so they just don't do anything because they don't know. And so, you know, I think we've come a long way, but I definitely think we have a long way to go in regards to educating people.
Yeah, also, no doubt. Right. I think you hit the nail on the head there too, with people kind of expecting that immediate gratification, you know, pop a pill and it's going to be done with.
Right.
That in our culture in general, you know, in terms of stimulation and apps and social interactions. And it's another thing there too with what we ingest, right? We want to eat something and feel full, you know, and so we crave that's going to make us feel heavy as opposed to something that may be healthier for us. But it doesn't necessarily have that same kind of feeling. Same thing with pills, right? I mean, like you said, you know, anxiety, hey, I'm gonna take this Xanny and I'm going to feel better afterwards. And I'm going to pop this pain medicine, it's going to be better. So I totally agree with that. Now, you mentioned the oil. And obviously oil is like super, it's kind of like the way people, everything is right now. Right now, do you have experience, you know, with the oil versus like water soluble products and how maybe those may be more faster acting, or how the efficacy compares a little bit?
Our CBD with CBG is nanoemulsified. And then we also have a full plant extract as well. I think they both work great. I myself have used both with great results. I really think it kind of depends on the person, what they're looking for. Some people don't want to do a full plant extract because, you know, it does have a little bit of THC, and so they're worried about drug testing or that kind of thing. Some people don't like the taste of a full plant product. I personally don't mind it, but our full plant extract is really hempy. It's like, you know, that's where it came from.
I love it too, but I do too.
Yeah, that's my thing.
I like earthy stuff, like, you know, mushrooms and beets and all that fun stuff, you know, so some people don't learn that stuff.
Right. I don't know what kind of mushrooms you're talking about there.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. Before I opened my mouth, I was thinking, should I actually bring this up? But, you know, it's we'll get on the psychedelics maybe another time, but
right. I wasn't sure if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The our CBG products, the CBD with CBG, I really like that for my clients that have inflammation, because we're putting back in the CBG, right? Mm-hmm. And so that can be really helpful for inflammation. The drawback of a full plant extract, I find, is that basically you're extracting from that plant, right? And so you're limited to what is in that plant, whereas our CBD with CBG, you can put back as much CBG as you want, right? And so you're not limited to what's in the plant. And really, I kind of think it depends on the person. I should kind of do an experiment on myself, use just the CBD with CBG for 2 months and see, and then just use the full plant extract as an experiment to see the difference. You gave me something to think about there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a woman at an event the other day that tasted the full plant extract, and she was actually saying she's had some pretty disgusting CBD in her time, and she was quite pleased with the way ours tasted. I mean, it's very earthy for sure, mm-hmm. But it's not. I've tasted some before that kind of tastes like a stick. So yeah. Doesn't taste like hemp, but it tastes like a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, amazing. Now, you also mentioned CBG, and CBG, you know, we talk about sometimes that CBD is like the darling right now, right? It's a buzzword, right? Right. Even, you know, you search online and what is it? You know, people are searching CBD, right? It's not even hemp-derived products, right? They're not searching for all those other things. They're searching for CBD. Right. And there's a lot of value that's lost there.
Right.
People don't know yet about CBG a lot of times. I mean, people in our industry do. And we know that it's the next thing coming for sure. You know, CBN's a lot more rare, but you know, just in terms of extraction, everything like that. But with the CBG, you know, you mentioned cancer research. Now give me, you know, with your experience, what different uses, or not uses, I don't want to put you in that way, but what are the differences that a person can see with the CBD versus CBG? I know you talk about combining the two, but what kind of purpose does each one serve?
Right. CBG, I use a lot in inflammatory processes. Uh-huh. You know, there's lots of differing opinions on the origins of where cancer starts from. And so if you look at those different processes, right, how the CBG works would be depending on the situation. But if you look at cancer from an inflammatory process, right, the CBG can be really helpful there. I wanted to speak to one thing when you were saying CBN. The benefit of a full plant extract there is with our product that's extracting the CBD, getting rid of the THC and putting back in the CBG. Unfortunately, with that particular product, you do lose things like terpenes, mm-hmm. the CBN, and those kinds of things. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's the benefit that you're getting in the full plant that you're not getting in an isolated product, right? Mm-hmm. The benefit of a nano-emulsified product is that there's more surface area for absorption within the body, right? And so there's so many differing factors, right? Which one is better? I don't think we can say which one's better. You know, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm.
Better purpose, I guess, you know.
Right.
Right. Now, you mentioned nanoemulsify. Can you expand on that for our listeners and for me? You know, a little bit more of your experience with that and kind of delving into that as well.
Yeah, so basically it's just increasing the surface area of the molecules so that mm-hmm. when you ingest the CBG or the CBD product, right, there's more absorption area for the product. And it's just a different... It's kind of like the new big thing now, the new way of doing it. And so some companies are doing that and some aren't. You know, that's new for us, actually. We started that in July. Our products before that were not nanoemulsified. You know, and that actually was the product that I was taking when I did that SEDRate test, that it came back as a 2. And so, you know, I do wonder if that was the nanoemulsification of that, right? Or if it was the added CBG back in there. So can't really say there. Yeah.
Amazing. And yeah, you've mentioned a few times, you know, kind of testing on your own, you know, and I mean, that's the whole way, right? That's, you know, scientific method, being able to create the independent variable that's in there. Now, what can we do? You know, I'd like to ask this question a lot and see different people's answers. What can we do to create more research? Because that's the kind of thing that we need. I think that's something that obviously is a big barrier for people and for physicians, other healthcare providers. when it comes to this. You know, it's the results, you know, can be knocking them in the head, but if they're not seeing studies, if they're not seeing real research, then it's kind of for them, it's not something that should be delved into or that we should be trusting at this point.
Yeah, I think there's, to your point earlier, I think there's a lot of stigma around CBD, you know, in a lot of different venues, right? You know, where we've, you know, the banking industry, and, you know, you'd think that we're selling, you know, hard drugs to people. It's it's rough. You know, I think, you know, it's not quote unquote FDA approved, right? And so especially Western medicine physicians, in my viewpoint, depending on which side they come from, don't want to touch that product because it's not FDA approved and whatever label you want to put on that. That's a tough one, right? I think physicians and practitioners that are kind of on the Eastern side of it are more open to alternative methods rather than, and we see this in the veterinary world as well, right? When I first started giving it to Dwiggins, my rabbit, the vet had said to me, well, there's not much research, right? But you could try it and report back and see how it goes, right? But there, I think if a physician is very, very Western, I think they're against using it because there's lack of studies or there's not enough information and that kind of thing. Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be more publicized research on it, but I don't know how we get there with it, quote unquote, not being FDA approved, which I have my own opinions on FDA approved things.
Well, it's, to say it's not clear cut, right? It's not a, it's not a fair race. Let's just say
right,
that.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of supplements we use too that aren't FDA approved kind of thing. You know, I will say that, you know, there's things like Advil and Percocet and any kind of other number of pharmaceuticals that are FDA approved. We could argue that those products or pharmaceuticals are making people more sick, right? And so
they're dangerous products. They're killing
they're
people.
Dangerous, right, right. So
they're approved though. So, you know, you get a piece of paper and take it to your pharmacist. And
right.
Your physician will say, here, take this for this and come back and see me for a new one in 3 months. And I'll get some more kickbacks. So, you know,
That's the thing, you know, physicians, that's another drawback. You know, physicians are, they don't get perks for recommending CBD to people. Right. Mm. You know, they need to sell, you know, they need to recommend a certain number of pharmaceuticals, you know, whatever their quota is kind of thing. Mm. But you know, there can be a huge argument in that, you know, people think Advil, you know, that I have so many patients that I talk to that, oh, I pop an Advil like every day. I'm like, do you know what that's doing to your gut, right? And so people think like of Advil as being a innocuous product, and it's really not. You know, over time that destroys your gut lining, and that can create autoimmune diseases and cancer and all those kinds of things. But because they're FDA approved in our modern day society, they're okay, right? They get the okay symbol, and that's kind of sad, right? Because that's what's killing people.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, and I think. You mentioned something here that haven't really delved into so much that I'd love to delve into is this concept of Western versus Eastern medicine, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this is an Eastern medicine.
Right.
And this is something that's been used for thousands of years.
Right.
You know, and this is something that, you know, from a Western point of view, we're living in a culture where we're dealing with almost 100 years of prohibition that we're countering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's... The bias is unbelievable.
Right.
So to say that it's just like, I need to see studies is ridiculous because it comes from also generations now of weed is bad, you know, reefer madness, you know, all this stuff, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
All that. So, and like you said, Eastern medicine just has a completely different approach. You know, it
right.
has, I think in Western medicine, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of times we're trying to deal with symptoms, right? We're trying to just deal with, okay, you got a cold, take this, you know, there's no cure for a cold, but you'll take this and it'll take away some of the symptoms, right?
Right.
And same thing, you know, in terms of emotional, or not emotional, you know, different therapies that could be get to the root of the problem. We're just like, take this, okay, you got anxiety, take this, this is going to take away the anxiety. Well, it's going to take away the feeling of anxiety, right? But it's not going to take away the cause of the anxiety. And I think that that's something that we're missing a lot.
You are spot on.
You know, and in Eastern medicine, we're looking at the core. We're looking at what's causing the problem, because I can keep putting a band-aid on it. But if, if there's pus and it's infected, you know, what the hell am I, you know, we can keep doing this till we're done. But
right. Yeah, you're right. So Western medicine is the symptom management band-aid approach, I call it. And to your point, right, they're not looking at root causes, right? So why... Okay, so say you have a migraine, right? So someone gives you a pill to take away the migraine, whether that be, you know, a migraine medication or, you know, most times, or an Advil or whatever. But that's not, so that's going to take the migraine away, right? But that's not going to tell us why you have migraines.
Yeah.
And so we do that in Western medicine. We slap a Band-Aid on it. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Western medicine. I'm pretty clear about that. The challenge is that Western medicine practitioners, they're not bad practitioners. They just, they're not trained in functional medicine or root cause medicine, right? That's not what they're trained in. And so, you know, people come to them and they're looking for help, and they're not able to help them in the way that, say, a functional medicine practitioner or any kind of Eastern, you know, acupuncture, those kinds of things can help people to get to the root cause of why they have dysfunction. Because unfortunately, dysfunction in the body never gets better, right? So we have one dysfunction, and from that dysfunction, kind of like the whole house falls down, right? And
like
so
playing whack-a-mole after that, you know?
Right. So true. That's a good analogy. But yeah, so one thing happens, and then from that one thing, all these other things happen. And so because that root cause, initial root cause, is not dealt with, now we have all of this other downstream cycle of badness that happens from that, right? And so, you know, I get patients 10 years out from an initial incident, right, that now have like all of this cluster of badness in their body just because the one thing wasn't dealt with, right? And so nothing good ever comes from sticking a Band-Aid on it, no matter what that is. I think people don't think that one thing, maybe in isolation, is a bad thing, right? But over time, we compound on that and we don't get better, right? And then we add a couple of Advils and Percocets and whatever other medication you want to add to that to get to where we are.
Narcotics, right?
Narcotics, right. But weed is bad.
Weed is bad, though. Weed is bad. Don't you forget it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, man, it's a plant.
That literally makes me laugh. It's so funny.
Yeah, you know, it's like things crack me up. Like back in New Mexico, not so much here, but back in New Mexico, we would try to go to like certain events, and you know, we'd pay our entry fee, and then they'd refund it because we are selling CBD. I'm like, I'm not selling crack to people.
Uh-oh. CBD. She's selling the funny gummies.
I'm like, you know, an Advil could do a lot more harm than my little bottle of CBD over there.
Wow.
Right. But yeah, you do have a good point, right? There's a huge gap, right, between Western and Eastern medicine. And I think, you know, to your point, the things that are quote unquote approved are the things that are damaging people's health.
Yeah.
And, you know, the openness around things that could make people well is limited. I think there's definitely a movement towards that. I think there's a lot more consumers of health that are getting it, right? That I feel like crap. And every time I go to the doctor, I'm just given another pill, and then I continue to feel like crap, right? Each pill that's given to a person then gives them other things, right, that happen to them because they get the side effects from the medication. And then we get to a point where what symptoms are you having that are from your original illness or from the basket of medications that you're on, right? And then you have to have a medication to deal with the side effect of that last one that they put you on. And it just becomes this horrible cycle, right?
No, it's really crazy. You know, people, they spend 3 minutes with their doctor, you know, 7 minutes, I think, is the average that people spend. You know, they sit there waiting in the waiting room. They sit there waiting in the room, and the doctor comes in for 7 minutes. How you doing? Cool. Blah, blah, blah. How's it working for you? Awesome. Here's another one, you know, peace out to you. And, you know, it's just, so that was going to be my next question is, are people fed up with this? You know, is this something that you see a change? And you said that, yeah, that there's people are starting to kind of be fed up with it and looking for alternatives. You think that this is a movement that's happening? Is this something that has to do with, maybe the younger crowd a little bit who maybe have different ideas about, you know, pharmaceuticals and everything like that? Or is this something that is just based off people's own experience? Where do you see this trend going, I guess, is my question.
You know, there's a lot more movement in terms of having functional practitioners, whether they're physicians or health coaches or any kind of physician that may be functional or practitioner that may be functional in Western medicine practices, right? And we see it happening here and there where physicians, because they're so limited on, to your point, right, 3 to 7 minutes, whatever they get, we see it going one or two ways, right? So they have 3 to 7 minutes to spend with a patient, but then they can have that patient spend 30 minutes with a functional practitioner. Oftentimes that's a functional health coach, right? Because then the doctor then doesn't have to worry about spending enough time with the patient, right? Then that patient can go to another functional practitioner. We see that happening. The other things that happen are what we call direct medicine, where functional practitioners, they don't take insurance, or Western medicine practitioners don't take insurance. And when they don't take insurance, they're not bound by insurance laws, right? Or insurance rules, I should say, where, you know, you only have 3 to 7 minutes to spend with a patient, or you have to recommend so many of this drug per month, or whatever that is. When they do direct medicine, basically the patient pays like a monthly fee, right? And then the physician, whether they be Western or functional, has more space to be able to help people, right? And that's kind of becoming a thing now. And so I definitely think people are researching more. You know, they talk to their friend Sally, right? And Sally said, "Oh, well, I went to a functional medicine practitioner, and I, you know, I'm feeling so much better," right? And so I think people are, to your point, I think they're fed up, right? They're like, "Okay, well, I felt like crap for the last 10 years. Maybe I should start looking at alternatives." There's programs out there that they're like online programs where they have like a group of physicians, health coaches, and that kind of thing, where people can pay a membership, right? And then they're matched with an appropriate practitioner for their issues. And so those types of things are popping up. I have talked to several kind of people that run those platforms. You know, the age of everybody being on the, what I like to call the interwebs, right? People are researching more. But yeah, I think the gone are the times where for most people, they think their doctor knows it all, and then they shouldn't veer from that. Right. Unfortunately in the Western medicine community, right? In the Western medicine community, it's what we call the standard of care. And physicians do not veer from that standard of care, right? And so that leaves the patient limited, right? They're within that standard of care. And if they want to go outside of that, then they're kind of left to flounder, right?
Pay out of pocket, you know.
Pay out of pocket, right?
It's so expensive. So many barriers. Well, wow. You know, I can keep talking about this. This is so fascinating. Actually, I have one more question. So you're saying that the functional medical practitioners is a supplement, meaning like, are they coming in, like working in conjunction with the physician and like kind of helping out? Like, I know when I go to the dentist, you know, you got your hygienist and you got the dentist, right? And the hygienist sits there with you for 15 minutes talking about how crappy your gums look and how bad.
Black on your teeth.
Yeah, and saying that your teeth are about to fall out and that you have to spend another 45 minutes a day brushing your teeth and flossing. And then the dentist comes in and says, "Oh, everything looks great, wonderful. See you in a few months." You know,
it's right.
My dentist thinks my teeth are great. My hygienist thinks I'm gonna be teeth in 3 months. So,
So they have some of these practices. So you have the option, right, to then see, say, a different practitioner, right? So if you want to spend 3 to 7 minutes with your doctor, and then, you know, you want to spend half an hour with a functional medicine practitioner, whether insurance covers that, I'm not sure. I think it kind of depends on the insurance. And then you may have to pay out of pocket for that. Mm-hmm. You know, direct pay practitioners then aren't limited to the amount of time they can spend with people. So if they have people spending like a membership model, right, they're not limited by the insurance company on how many patients they need to see a day, right? And then that equals 7 minutes per patient, that kind of thing. So even then, in a Western medicine space, Western medicine practitioners that do direct pay are more able to be more open with their patients, right? And so maybe they want to learn a little bit about functional medicine. Maybe they want to, you know, do some different things rather than pharmaceuticals for their patients. They have a little bit more leeway there in order to do that. And so there are Western medicine practitioners that do kind of go over to the other side, right? They start to train via functional medicine because unfortunately that's not, they're not taught that in school. They're just not. And so that's why they're limited. And like I said, it doesn't make them a bad practitioner. It just makes them limited, limited in being able to help people get better. Mm-hmm. So that's just the truth of it.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible. Well, hopefully we see more progress on this. I know the people are, you know, people do still listen to their physician. Their physician says one thing and that's the way it is. You can take it to the bank. But I know that, like you said, there's a lot of people who are exploring alternative forms and more holistic approaches, homeopathic approaches. And so I think a lot of movement to happen. That's for sure.
We must remember that doctors are humans too. They are not God.
Yeah, exactly. They make mistakes all the time. They say one thing and something else happens, you know, something is, you know, God forbid, terminal, and then they're wrong, you know, or something is, you know, the worst thing ever. And people make mistakes, misdiagnoses, you know, a lot of problems with that. And obviously doctors have to keep learning all the time, right? That's the whole point. If someone's doing the same way that they're, I know you said standard of care. So that's one thing, but obviously, you know, if you're practicing medicine the exact same way you're doing it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're probably gonna get sued for malpractice. So it's something that always doctors have to be up on. They always have to be changing their way. And the good doctors anyways, I think a lot of them, not just lump people into one group or not, but so many doctors are kind of saying like, hey, what's going on over here with cannabis, with CBD, with the hemp, with the different cannabinoids, endocannabinoid mm-hmm. system. And hopefully we'll get a whole new batch coming up soon. So
Right. All of those, you know, younger people that smoked a lot of weed in college.
Yeah, you know.
Right, they get it.
I remember Eyes Wide. I watched, you know, the movie Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise, and he was a doctor. And I remember him like going home, and there was Nicole Kidman. He was a doctor, and he would go home and smoke weed. And I remember watching that and being like, doctors don't smoke weed, what, you know.
Well, anyway. You know, you mentioned the education. You know, research that's done today doesn't make it into the textbooks for like 5 to 10 years, right?
Exactly.
So that research that's, you know, if they're reading a textbook, they're not getting what's new.
Yeah.
They're not, right? They're getting 10-year-old medicine, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
So unless you're learning, you have to learn every single day because stuff changes all the time. You know, what you were doing even a year ago doesn't apply now. Things are always changing. So you that's always have sure. to, you know, always have to keep, sometimes it's exhausting.
You got to stay up on it.
It's exhausting, which is sometimes why I like to like kind of go into my CBD space where I can like not have to think so much sometimes, you know, I can just put stuff in baggies and make little tinctures.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it doesn't take as much brain power.
You know, you're talking about things changing all the time. Things are changing in our industry all the time. There's so much having going on in terms of regulation, in terms of you know, to do everything. And not only that, but more research, like we said, but, you know, going back to Cat's Meow, you know, what is, you know, with the changes going on all the time, what has been your biggest struggle, your biggest obstacle since you started and how have you been able to overcome it?
Oh, gosh. Biggest obstacle besides people being uneducated, is probably the regulations around. I know we've come a long way in regards to banking, but you know, advertising is a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like
advertising.
You can't,
what's that?
You can't advertise on Google because you're selling cocaine.
Of course. Facebook, forget about it. You know, even if your page gets big, they're gonna at the discretion, like, oh, they got 10,000 people in the group. You know, we're gonna shut it down.
Oh, my Facebook ads were shut down because I was.
Oh yeah, the ads are going to shut down right away.
Advertising CBD.
So the ads will get flagged right away. Right away, they're going to get flagged.
You know, advertising is just—it's a bitch, right? You know, you can't advertise on Facebook, right? Because you know, you can't advertise on Google. You know, up until a few months ago, you know, unless you were like really discreet about your banking, try to get someone to bank with. I can't tell you how many platforms in regards to payment processors shut us down.
Yep.
It's
welcome to the club.
Right. And every time something happened, I was like, oh my God, I'm selling CBD. Like, seriously, what? Why is this so tough? So those types of things, like really regulations around payment processors and advertising. And, I joked one day that why couldn't I gone into like the shoelace business or something? Cause that was way easier than CBD. Like, I had to pick the hard business.
Well, you know, the shoelace business, I'm not sure how booming it is right now, you know, so Mr. Yeah. Shoelace, there's one Mr. Shoelace and he's doing very well. There's the shoelace family and there's, right, like, you
know. I had to pick the hard business, but yeah, I think, you know, cause you just can't like advertise your business and that kind of thing. So that's been a struggle. I think we're getting there. I think we do have a long way to go. And then on top of that, you add uneducated people that don't know. You know, I have a lot of people that come up to me and they don't know what they're looking for. They don't know anything about CBD. And I think instead of trying to learn or wanting to learn, it's easier for them to walk away. And I have had
people kind of have the one and done, you know, you go to a restaurant, you get bad service, you're not going back. You know,
well, yeah, right.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. You know, it's people are more likely to just not do it again and not tell you than they are to give you feedback, right?
Right.
The people who actually complain to the manager or whatever, you know, the Karens or whatever, you know, so they're the ones that actually, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? So
yeah,
but it's not statistically, most people aren't going to say, hey, you know what, I didn't enjoy that product, or you know what, I tried CBD and it just didn't work for me. What do you guys have? Maybe it's different. Maybe it's the CBD product I have. Maybe it was crap, right? But most people kind of just throw the baby out the bathwater and say, ah, it's
did you buy it at the gas station?
Yeah, yeah. Where'd you get it? What was the label? Who was the lab? You know, and it's so much that people have to know, actually, but.
Some of my best conversations really have come from people that have come up to our booth at an event that really had no idea what they were looking for. I've had great conversations with people that once they talk to me, they're like, oh, I get it now, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have some of those people that are just, they're really hesitant to just go there. But like I said, some of the best conversations I have had with people that really came to the booth not knowing a thing and left with a better understanding and most times a product. You know, on our website, we do have a beginner's guide that we've spent a lot of time with and FAQ. So, you know, people can go there and really kind of sit with it and read more about it so they can kind of get a better idea. And so, you know, I think that helps people to be able to just, you know, people that are really kind of want to sit and read about it can do that as well.
That's great. No, and definitely, you know, and educating people, I think, you know, hey, are you a mammal? So then you have an endocannabinoid system. You may not have known this, but
I'm totally going to lead with that next time.
Yeah, you know. And there's these CB1, CB2 receptors, and they actually are going to be attached to cannabinoids. And your body has not been having them for the last 100 years, you know. And animals also. They used to get them through the animals, and now we don't get them anymore. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff to get into. You know, it's like kind of can be overwhelming too, I guess, for people who are new to the space. But Heather, you got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of cool stuff going on. I love your background, your knowledge, definitely really appreciate this. So, what can we expect from the Cat's Meow in the future? What do we have coming up?
Wow. You know, we're always trying to improve. We're always adding new products, figuring out what people like, what people don't like, what sells, what doesn't sell, right? I don't know. Just expanding on our product line.
Good.
Yeah. Expanding locally, nationally, that kind of thing. Just always looking to have an optimal product for people. And that's what people can expect from us, is that everything they buy from us will be top quality. We refuse to sell anything that's subpar. And you know, speaking of you know, where stumbling blocks, right, is we didn't touch on this at all, but the cost, right? you know, sometimes people come up to the booth and they're like, they almost had a heart attack because I told them what
they want the $5 product. They want the, right. You know, I saw it in the gas station for 10 bucks. What do you mean 60 bucks, 80 bucks,
right.
80 bucks?
Right. So it's education around, you know, you're going to pay for high quality CBD. You just are. And so that's another stumbling block, is really kind of getting people to understand that the $15 product that they paid at the gas station was $15 of crap product, right? You know, and all of our stuff is, you know, is priced accordingly to the quality that it is, right? And to not price it accordingly would be to undermine, you know, the value that our products are, for sure.
No doubt about it. No doubt right. about it. That's definitely people sticker shock's another thing. Mm-hmm. But you gotta be paid for it and everything. Anyway, so cool. You know, I always ask, I love your journey. I love where you came from, what you got going on now. You know, you got a strong brand, strong everything. I ask everybody this, but I'm definitely interested to hear what you have to say, is how do you define success and what does success look like for you?
I think success for me looks like the amount of people that I can help, whether that is through the functional practice or through CBD, right? How many people can I help? Because that's the reason why I kind of went into the functional practice, right? I went into the functional practice because I had a journey myself of not getting answers from a physician, right? And so I suffered for 10 plus years, like a lot of my patients do, feeling like crap with no answers, right? And so I didn't want, that's, you know, why I went into this space, because I didn't want other people to end up like me, right? 10 years of struggle, right? With no answers. And so, you know, the amount of people that I can help, whether it be through functional medicine or through using a CBD product, is really kind of where my sweet spot is and where I shine, really, in regards to, you know, how many people can I help to feel better, right? Because I know when I felt like crap, and then when I felt better, the changes, right, in your whole entire life, right? Not just how you feel, but how you show up in your life, for your friends, for your family, for yourself, is huge, right? And so, you know, I've had patients and clients that, you know, couldn't empty the dishwasher, right? And then, you know, 2 weeks later, they're emptying the dishwasher. And for them, that's huge, right? For you, maybe it's not. But for them, you know, or I could get out of bed when I couldn't 2 weeks from now. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I think that that's my journey, is to help as many people that I can in regards to living their optimal life, whatever that looks like for them.
Well, that's amazing. And I love that too. You know, I think that seems to be another topic that comes up a lot, is I'm suffering, or I suffered through something. I don't want someone else to suffer through this. Or how can I, you know, I needed help, or someone in my family needed help. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what it takes for us to change and to be leaders, you know, leaders for other people too. And so other people don't have to go through the same struggle finding solutions. So I love that. And I love that it took you a second to think. You know, I think sometimes people, they just jump right into an answer and you're like, this is what it is, you know, help, you know, so. Love it.
Hey, but you could have told me you were going to ask me that question like yesterday. So,
you know, so first of all, I love it. First of all, everything I do here is super candid. I try and keep it as candid as possible because, you know, we're having a conversation. But Heather, if you would have listened to one of the episodes, you would have known that I ask this every time. I always ask.
But hey, I think, though, you get a better answer when the person doesn't know, right? Because now I'm on the spot.
I love it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, right? Because everybody's answer is so different. And that's what I've told you off air. I love doing this because I get to talk to really cool people. And, you know, people from all areas of life, all walks of life, who are passionate about this. You know, this industry and this topic, and have different views of it, and also different ways of looking at it and different strengths. So yeah, I mean, I want to hear what everybody has to say, you know, and everybody's, you know, entrepreneurs and different journeys, different backgrounds. It's my favorite thing, you know, really it's all of it is just to lead up to that one question, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. That's my passion, is helping people, because I was one of those people. And I think that's why a lot of my patients can relate to me, because I've been where they are. I know how it feels. And so, you know, oftentimes when you go to a practitioner that hasn't been there, I think it's a different level of how I can help them, right? Because I know what it feels like in my body, but I also know how it feels mentally and emotionally to be in that space, right? Of not having any answers. And so both of those things, I think, you know, are one of the reasons why people can relate, because I can relate to them having been there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. Coming from a place of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, Heather, I really appreciate you. Now as we close, how can our listeners find out more about the Cat's Meow and learn more about you and connect with you and buy your products and all that fun stuff?
Sure. Our website is thecatsmeowcbd.com. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, of course, which is where you found me. And recently on Snapchat, which has been interesting.
Snapchat. You got to get on TikTok. Snapchat's still 2016, you know?
I'm still trying to figure out Snapchat. But on Facebook, The Cat's Meow CBD. Also on Instagram, The Cat's Meow CBD. And yeah, so thecatsmeowcbd.com is our website. On there is our entire story. There's a whole page on if you want to read about Dwiggins and his dog sister Mia, and how I kind of started in this whole journey. There's a whole story there. If you want to learn more about CBD, we have a great beginner's guide that we've really spent some good time getting some good information for you guys. If you're kind of still kind of learning about CBD.
Amazing. Amazing. Heather, it was very good speaking with you. I really appreciate your time. You know, all the best. Thanks again for jumping on, and good luck to you and the rest of 2020 and beyond.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com, that's CALACANN.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.